Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians 5 verse 33. I was one of those unfortunate souls that got COVID. I got my case shortly after Thanksgiving last year. My symptoms started on a Sunday. I was on vacation. Happy vacation. For a couple of weeks I had a low-grade fever. I felt pretty fatigued. But my worst symptom was a muddled mind. It actually hurt to think. If you ask me a question as simple as what's your phone number, to try and think of it, it just hurt. It made me feel nauseous. Unfortunately, at the same time, I was the executor of my dad's estate. He had passed away at Thanksgiving. And so I was answering questions for lawyers, funeral directors, siblings, financial institutions, and a lot of questions were coming. My saving grace was my wife. She stood by my side while I was on the phone or helped me fill out papers while all these questions were coming, and she would just give, the less I had to think, the less pain I was in. And if I didn't have to think, my mind could relax and I felt all the better. But one of the things that was dynamics that was going on in all of that was I could tell my wife would get perturbed with me every once in a while because my memory was worse than ever through all of that, and so I would typically ask her the same question over and over and over again. You know how annoying that can be. But I took note of, while I was talking with her, I could see that she was perturbed. When she looked in my eyes, her tone softened every time. She realized what I was going through, and she reacted with compassion and with care. And we were able to get through that together. So especially through that season, I was so thankful that I was married. Now, we guys, and maybe me in particular, I like to be self-sufficient. I like to take care of others. I don't like to be taken care of. That's not in my nature. I hope to work up to the moment I'm dead. And that's our hope anyway. But it often doesn't work out that way. And I was particularly thankful to be married to Barb because she's very organized. She had the papers everywhere. She could lay her hands on them immediately when we needed them, and so on. This morning, we're going to talk about building a foundation for our relationship so that when the storms come, they help us to pull together rather than break apart. I know we've been spending a number of weeks on marriage. This is the last one for a while. I could have exited and gone on with other things, but Paul made this one last verse as he put a period on what he was talking about marriage. And I said, you know, I think one more visit there will be apropos. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Father, it sounds like simple enough advice. It sounds like something you would have never had to write down. Of course a man's going to love his wife. Duh. Of course a woman's going to respect her husband, right? But they're good reminders. And even for those of us who think we're pretty good at marriage or who have gone through enough length together that, yeah, we've learned some things. Those are excellent reminders. Don't forget to love her, sir. Don't forget to love her. Ma'am, what's that in your voice? Don't forget the tone of respect. It'll help everything. So thanks, God, for the reminders. And I understand, Lord, we're in different seasons of life together. Well, we've even got some dear ones among us who are widowed, and we've got some young ones who dream about being married someday. And we've got divorce, and we've got remarried, all that stuff. Lord, help us this morning as we look in your word, and we'll thank you for that help in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we took Paul's exit off the marriage highway to the little dog leg off where he said, well, I'm actually talking about Christ and the church. Oh, really? And so we looked at that relationship, you and I together in the church and under Christ, how that relates to marriage, and there needs to be a point in our life when we go from unmarried to married. Well, we go from unsaved to saved, from not a part of the church to part of the church. And there ought to be an element of our relationship to the church that is like marriage. It's important, it's vital, it's foundational. We have responsibilities as well as joys in it all. Well, now we're going to get back on that highway that he was on about marriage. And he says, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself. That's a lot to think about right there. And the wife must respect her husband. So let's start with the guy. Each one of you also must love his wife as he loves him. So I think the apostle is assuming men love themselves. That maybe, just maybe, some of us can be a little bit self-centered and be thinking about what's going on in our life to the oblivion of what's going on around us with everyone else. I'm sure that's true of a couple of guys. And he said, broaden your tunnel vision just a little bit. There's other people in the world. There's other people in the house. Be cognizant of all that's, it's not all about us. There's some others around us as well. Love them like we, don't quit loving yourself. Don't quit caring about those. That's important. Taking care of you is an important thing. But taking care of others is also good. Each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself. Loving a woman is a lifelong pursuit with many surprises and a lot of dangerous moments. Careful how you respond. I know what you want to say. I know how you want to say it. Take a moment. As we said a few sermons ago, loving a woman is a moving target. What worked yesterday ain't going to work today. What was good before, it may not be so good right now. Just when you think you know her, surprise! It's all very different. In fact, sometimes when you do the very thing you think is going to be a blessing, you think is going to be wonderful, you get shut down pretty hard. But I thought you liked. And then you get an explanation. You don't quite understand, but you try to learn from as you go on. Your younger men will be familiar with the fact that there are changes that take place in a woman's body on a fairly regular basis. I remember my wife was in that time of the month once, and I'd seen a commercial on TV about these pills that they could take that helped to mitigate those emotions, moods. So as a loving husband, I went out and I got her some. Rookie mistake. You see, to try to apply medication is to suggest there's something wrong. The last thing you want to do is suggest that medication might be helpful. If they come to that conclusion on their own, that's fine, but don't you suggest it. Because by the time I was done, I was the one that needed medication. So here's a tip for you rookies. It ain't about you. There's nothing you can do to help. You didn't do anything to cause this, regardless of how much is told you it's your fault. And nothing you try will help. I'm just trying to encourage you here. But hang in there. Your being there, although it doesn't sound like it, is the best you can do. Husbands, love your wife as you love yourself. In that mood, not in that mood, Love her, love her, love her. You get in a mood sometimes, and you can't leave yourself, although you'd like to sometimes. You won't leave her. She's your wife. You're going to love her. You dress and feed yourself. Make sure she's well-dressed and fed. And keep some chocolate on hand. Now, she'll be mad at you that you buy chocolate, that you bring it into the house, but trust me, it helps. I don't know what all chocolate does. And if you're wise, you'll hide the chocolate. Now, she'll find it every time, but it will look like you're not trying to medicate anything and you're not, you know, trying to provide something that she said she doesn't want, although she somehow needs chocolate. Keep that in mind. You must love your wife. What a learning experience. But this is an order from God. Love your wife. Yeah, there's no wiggle room there. Well, you need to understand this. No, no, you need to understand. You need to love your wife. It's a very clear command. There will be days when it would be easier to go to war. It would be easier to donate a kidney. But this is your directive. Husbands, love your wife. I don't know that we, surrender, I easily confess, I don't understand love. I enjoy love, aspects of love, but I do not understand love in its totality at all. It's a divine mystery, of course. And we discover a lot about love as we are in a relationship, a man and a woman. But love isn't always soft or tender or huggy or even nice. Sometimes love is a little loud. It may be brash. It may be difficult. Sometimes love is hiding in a closet and scooting little pieces of Hershey chocolate down through the crack at the bottom of it. Sometimes love is grabbing the kids and running, getting lost for a little while. Sometimes it's biting your tongue hard as you can and just nodding. Learning to love her in her difficult times is wonderful self-discipline. It will teach you what nothing else can. And we've called this our noble duty. Love your wife. Why do I keep saying that? Because the enemy will be telling you the exact opposite. The enemy will be trying to remind how wonderful it was. I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle, as I go riding merrily along. And they say, oh, ain't you glad you're single, as I go. I learned that in chorus in fifth grade. And every once in a while, that little jingle just comes back to you, you know. And the enemy, well, you know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Yes, sir. Obedience to God comes with blessings. And we need to live our lives in obedience under the inspiration, under the wisdom of God. And those of us who are older, those of us who are seasoned, we've now been married 42 years, understand that there are depths and tiers of love that you won't experience if you take an early exit. There are bonding experiences, grief, challenges, illness, change of careers, all these kinds of things, just watching the children grow up. Can't wait till they move out of the house. Brokenhearted when they do. That seasons a couple. It seasons a love relationship. And it's so sad when a couple has gotten bad seasoning. They're still together, but they stink. It's not an aroma. It's not a fragrance. It's a smell. But isn't it beautiful when they've been seasoned right? And you know, when things are cooking, they don't always smell so good. You ever walk in the house and they're cooking broccoli? I love broccoli, but I really don't care for the smell. Cabbage, when it's cooked. When my mom was making the hunky hand grenades, you know, the beef and the rice in the cabbage and so on. You go, whoo, man. But dinner was delicious. Some of the seasoning we go through as a couple, you wouldn't want to go through that again. And it doesn't smell so good to everybody. I guess my best advice would be go through it. Let the seasoning have its full effect. Dinner will be delicious. You'll be glad you saw it through all of those seasons. And remember, gentlemen, the harder the task, the greater the crown. Some of you have a crown waiting that is as big as a Winnebago on the other side. Just hang in there. So verse 22 said, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. And in verse 33, it puts it this way. The wife must respect. So submit, respect. Let there be honor between us. Husband and wife, so easy. Why is it so easy to become so dishonorable to one another when we should be respecting and holding one another dear? Respect. Ladies, you may have noticed that your husband may not be really good at taking advice from you. Even in areas where you're much more experienced, much more qualified, he may have trouble taking your word for some. Wives, you ever say anything like this? Oh, well, when so-and-so says this to you, well, it's some great epiphany. I've been telling you that for years, and you never listened to me. Gentlemen, you ever hear that from your wife? Wives, you ever say anything like that? Why do guys have trouble listening to their wives? Should they have a problem with that? Absolutely not. This is the one that they have learned to trust. She's right all the time. Does he have a problem with that? Duh. Well, see, he loves you, and one of the ways that he feels loved is taking care of. And, you know, kind of ringing the bell of, he impressed you. When we impress our wives, that gives us juice. It strengthens us. It blesses us. So ladies, here's that marriage key. I gave it to you a couple sermons ago. If you want to change your husband, praise what he does well, even if you have to make some things up. You'll lead with honey and sugar better than you'll drive with a fly swatter and a whip. So the ego can be rather fragile, especially when you're talking between a husband and a wife. So it's not lying, it's creative truth. You know, God spoke into existence those things which were not, and they became, right? So what you're doing is you're pre-truth. It may not be true yet that he is very sensitive, that he this, but you're encouraging that, and so you're making a way for it. So we're talking about creative truth, not lying. You just be the cheerleader, tell him what he's doing well, even if he's not doing it well yet, encourage that behavior. And I'm telling you, you're putting little crumbs that he'll follow, and he'll become that guy that you have wanted him to become all along. And we remember things. Not too long ago, our van gave up the ghost, and so we were looking for another vehicle. And in the meantime, all we had was my Mustang. Now, my wife didn't care for my Mustang very much. You know, she's got back trouble. And in a Mustang, you kind of go down into the Mustang and have to come up out of the Mustang. It's not easy when you've got back problems. And the Mustang is a little bit louder than some other vehicles. And when you've got a headache most of the time, and brum, blah, 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 brum, blah, 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 for some reason, they find that irritating. So she wasn't a Mustang fan, but we were, for 4 months, that's all the vehicle we had was the Mustang. God bless that girl. She got used to riding in the Mustang, and then she even said some sweet things like, you know, I appreciate the way you shift the Mustang. It's nice and smooth. It's not all herky-jerky. Made me feel good, you know. One evening, we're out on a ride. She says, you know what? This is kind of, we sit a little, in the van, we sat, but we're a little bit closer than we were before, you know. This week, we're at the doctor's office and discussing whether she's going to have surgery or not. I have no idea what to tell her. It scares both of us, actually. But on the way home, she reached over and she grabbed my hand. It almost brought me to tears. Of course, I didn't show that, and I didn't tell her that. We face these things together. We go through this together. And as she reached out, I felt like she was trusting me, that we were in this thing together. You know, men are very simple creatures, ladies. We're not all that complicated. If you give us a lock, we'll play with it for an hour. We'll lock it and unlock it and just put it on things and take it off things. That's a guy. Yo-yos are perfect for men. Wow. You know? Fire. Oh, we could sit and watch a fire all night. Look, crackle, crink. And, will this burn too? Whoa. Yeah. Magnets. Wow. Does it stick to this? Does it stick to that? I mean, it works for a 7-year-old. It works for a 47-year-old. It works when we're 92. Men are rather simple. A compliment still butters our bread. We get better and better at looking as though it doesn't affect us at all. But trust me, it sticks just like the magnet. Punk. 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 You want to bless your man? Just something simple. You say, hey, I like that shirt. You wait and don't see if he doesn't wear that shirt for a month. Pooh, pooh, pooh. You have that power to strengthen. But on the other end, a man tends to feel challenged, defensive, whenever he's being corrected by his wife. You say, well, wait a second. You put up with nasty customers all day. Your boss is downright abusive. You go through this with the neighbors. But then with me, I say one little thing. And why is that? It's because what you say means more to him than what anybody else in the world has to say. Your value of him, your view of him is extremely important. And when you treat him like his mother rather than his wife, he feels belittled, he feels challenged, he gets really defensive. You see, I know sometimes he acts like he wants another mother, but he doesn't need another mother. You know, you treating him like his mother, it would be like his mother dressing up like a cheerleader. If he has a picture of his mother dressed up like a cheerleader on his office wall, we've got bigger problems than I can talk about in a sermon. There's greater issues at stake there. But you're not his mom, you're his wife. He needs a wife. So be careful. I shouldn't have to be careful. Well, maybe not, but the verses preceding those that talk about marriage are these. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We usually attach those verses to what's going on before, and we talk about being a witness in the world, and they fit very well there, and those are important verses for that. But there's a reason I think Paul prepped us for marriage with these verses. Be careful. Be careful how you live. Make the most of every opportunity. You're waking up in the morning. It's an opportunity. It's time to go to bed. It's an opportunity. How are you going to greet one another in the morning? How are you going to say goodnight? What are you going to have for dinner? That's an opportunity. It can not turn out so good. It could be wonderful. It's an opportunity. So how will we respond? Okay, we'll eat what you want to eat, but I'm going to sit here and sulk the whole time because I would have rather had this. It's an opportunity. Be very careful then how you live. You want a good quality marriage, you have to season it well and season it right and not use those spices that sour it, that spoil the broth. But you want to add your love, you want to add your respect. You don't want to be afraid of your husband, but you want to use wisdom as you approach him. Why is it your husband seems to take more grief from others than he does from you? We've talked about this. You mean more to him than those others ever will. Wives have the power to strengthen or cripple, encourage or discourage, fan the flames of passion, or extinguish his last spark of manhood. So be careful. Be careful with the words, and that's for husbands and wives. Be careful with the words that we use. Your feedback, even if it looks like it's not affecting him, trust me, it's hitting home. Those things, he's got a refrigerator, and these are magnets. The words that you're saying, the compliments that you give, the derogatory things that you bark out, it tink, 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 tink. They're stuck to the refrigerator of his heart. If the rest of the world is crashing in, but you've got his back, he's going to stand. If the rest of the world's singing his praises, but you're popping his balloon, he's toast. Wives have the power to strengthen. They have the power to cripple. So watch your words. Choose to be a spark plug, the biggest fan, his strongest supporter. Remember the guy that you were so excited about when he asked you the question, "Will you marry me?" What did you think of him then? Why were you so excited? Maybe your parents weren't all that excited, but you were. You saw something, possibilities. Oh, I was blind with love. No, maybe you saw more clearly. Respect him now like you respected him then. It's a sad thing. I see it in so many families where there's the kids and then there's the husband at the tail end. He's the caboose. He used to be all that when you were dating, and now he's the caboose. Doesn't do anything right, can't be helpful enough, and so on and so forth. Lift him back up in your heart, in your mind's eye. Words are our tools for blessing our husbands and our wives. Be careful because they're sharp. As the song says, speak life. But don't just talk. Do those things that they say are important to them. Our mates are telling us our whole life long what they love, what they appreciate. And we have this way of discounting it and saying, no, that's not, that can't be so. Listen. Respect. Honor. Feed them as they request. And yes, ladies, the harder the trial, the bigger the crown on the other side. And for some of you, there'll be a crown as big as the White House. But respect, love. He's not acting like the man you thought he would be? Pray him better. Praise him better. She not acting like the woman you married? Pray her better. Love her always. Together, we'll overcome all those obstacles. Colicky babies, different shifts, childhood disasters, and yes, even menopause, both male and female. Would you stand with me this morning?